Please join me in the call to worship. Loud talkers and silent worriers, glad handlers and lonely wallflowers, God gives us together to be the body of wonder and joy, of hope and healing. Bystanders with hands shoved into our pockets, earnest ones whose feet are frozen in place. Jesus calls us to carry grace to outsiders, to walk with all those left behind. Introverts who wait for others to speak, bashful folks whose tongues tied in knots. The Spirit anoints us to speak up for the voiceless, to partner with the poor, to discover their gifts. I invite you now to please stand as you are able to sing Here in This Place, which can be found on page 6 of your bulletin. You may be seated. We come to God to confess our shortcomings, not because God doesn't already know, but so that we might be freed from past mistakes to move into the future unburdened. Let us pray together. Holy One, we struggle to live and be together. We sing that we are one in your spirit, but cannot tolerate those who disagree with us. We talk of being one body, but fight over music or Bible versions or carpet colors. We affirm the giftedness of each person, but we heap honor on just a special few. Forgive us, creative God, that we dismember your body so easily. May the words of our mouths speak peace to the brokenness in our world. May the hopes of our hearts bring wonder to those in despair. And may our love embrace all who are around us, even as we have been welcomed by your grace in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hear us now, Lord God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. Friends, we are forgiven. We are filled by God's Spirit and commissioned to be Christ's people for the world. Anointed, we can care for one another, weep with one another, serve one another, and live with one another. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby. Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro. I am Lou Pennebaker, Director of Christian Nurture and Education, and it's my pleasure to welcome you this morning. A little overcast day, but we are a friendly group, so we welcome you to be with us this morning. We ask that you take a minute to register your attendance. You'll find in your pew a blue pad. You can simply write your name if you are a regular attender, and we have all your information. If you are visiting or new and would like to be in contact with us, there is opportunity for you to leave any information there that you would like so that we can reach out to you. As always, we invite everybody following worship to our coffee fellowship right through this door here into our fellowship hall. We have coffee, tea, juice, and a variety of treats this morning, so come and enjoy some food and some good fellowship. While you're in Fellowship Hall this morning, if you have not already picked up your August newsletter from the church, the highlights, it is available. We ran into some
changes in the post office requirements for mass mailings, so we are no longer able to mail those out. So if you haven't picked it up yet this month, please do so. And if you know of somebody who doesn't come to church regularly, who maybe is a neighbor or you see at an exercise class or something like that, and you want to pick up theirs and take it to them as well, that would be appreciated. The session will be discussing how we will move forward in the future with communications, and you will hear about that soon. There are several things coming up this week for you to be aware of. There is a deacons meeting today. Monday is summer bell camp. Tuesday is women's book club and the session meeting. And Thursday, there is a nominating committee meeting. There is details about all of those in your bulletin. I encourage you to take a look at those, especially if you're involved in any of those groups. And upcoming, we ask that you save the date of Sunday, August 30th. As we will be saying farewell to Pastor Renee, who will be retiring at the end of this month. So come for the last worship service led by Pastor Renee and followed by a reception in Fellowship Hall with cake. So come and enjoy. That is the end of the announcements I have for you this morning. So I would like to invite Sherry Plunkett forward as we continue in worship with our first scripture reading.
Good morning. I'll be reading Psalm 19. You can find it on page 858 in your pew Bible. Let us hear the word of the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It arises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eye. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You may have noticed in the bulletin that we are welcoming again Diane Reuter as our guest organist, and she just played that very lovely solo. Thank you so much, Diane, for being with us today. Our second scripture today is taken from Paul's first recorded letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul's letter is intended to help a conflict that's been brewing in the church. And so he's calling on them to remember their identity as God's church, and in this passage, urging them to respect each other. Hear now the word of God. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has placed parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, when we approach this scripture about the body of Christ, Paul does this in a couple of different letters that we have from him. I imagine you might be like me. You think that Paul kind of invented this image. Anybody else think that Paul, this is like your first encounter and Paul probably made it up? Only one of you. Okay, it's only me, apparently. But it isn't, actually, and I can tell you that because I ran across a storyteller. His name was Aesop, Aesop's Fables. I'm sure some of you remember that, may have ran across those as a child. He lived about 600 years before Christ was born, and he was a slave in ancient Greece. And so he was a well-known storyteller, obviously. His stories come down to us today. And he taught moral lessons that survived us. And so one of them was named The Belly and Its Members. And this is how it goes. One day, it occurred to the members of the body that they were all doing the work while the belly was having all the food. So they held a meeting and after a long discussion decided to strike work until the Belly consented to take its proper share of the work. So for a day or two, the hands refused to take the food, the mouth refused to receive it, and the teeth had no work to do. But after a day or two, the members began to find that they themselves were not in very active condition. The hands could hardly move, the mouth was all parched and dry, while the legs were unable to support the rest of the body. So it's a similar, if more playful, way of talking about the members of the body. It takes account that our human bodies have been designed in a way that each of the part needs the others in order to be healthy. In this letter from Paul, he's using the metaphor of the body to point out that Christ and God created the church and created us. And so he makes a pretty strong case here for having unity together. And then in verse 27, there's the very pointed, now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And so the metaphor here is pretty obvious, isn't it? We need each other. And if we've learned anything from the pandemic, I wonder at times, but if we've learned anything from the pandemic, it's that getting together physically with humans is a good thing. Can I get an amen for that? Yeah, I think we all, you know, there was a point at which the Zoom thing, everybody was really over it. So many of us missed not being able to gather with those we most cared about, and gathering online by recordings for worship, it really wasn't the same. And let me tell you, for the preachers, it really wasn't the same. And so if we didn't know it before, we do know it now. The body matters. And, you know, of course, there was also opportunities during that pandemic to have lack of care for our brothers and sisters. I remember getting on a plane. It was toward the end of the pandemic. I think they had stopped requiring people to wear masks, but I had my mask on, and a woman sat down next to me, and she had a beautiful silk scarf loosely draped around her nose and mouth. And I just thought, oh, you know, it was sort of the pretend version of a mask. But that was the other part that we learned in the pandemic, that we need each other to be safe so that we're safe. The other point is that all the parts that matter, even the ones that are less seemly. And obviously Paul is writing to a community where some people's gifts were taking over and kind of being, and others were being disrespected. There was competition about who was the most important. There's a great story in a book called Animal Farm by George Orwell. In it, the animals have rebelled against and taken over the irresponsible human owner, and they have created their own new animal leadership. And they include 7 commandments in their initial proclamation, and the last and most important being all animals are equal. And as the animals begin to turn on each other and some are banished, the plot turns on the pigs, who now have become the very thing that they were trying to overthrow, right? And the new principle is, the last principle is now changed to, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. I think that's the human situation, is it not? We claim everybody's equal, and then there's the way we really do things. And so Paul has identified that human tendency to rank some people and their gifts above others, and he understands the danger of that. By accounts that we can figure out from other sources, the Corinthians had a full measure of the Spirit's power and prophecy and speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. The Corinthians had these in spades. And yet they also had conflict and immorality and thoughtless disregard for one another. And so how were they going to figure out whether something was a gift of the Spirit and not simply self-indulgence? And so in this chapter, and then we'll look at next week, the next chapter, Paul teaches on the topic of how to discern God's work in the activation of various gifts and how to value one's brothers and sisters in Christ across that variety. Given that the Corinthian church, Corinth is on an isthmus, and there was just a little short band of land between the Mediterranean, two parts of the Mediterranean, and so it was a big trade port area. There was a lot of commerce that went through here, through the ancient Mediterranean world. And so it was pretty cosmopolitan, and they had a variety of people from a variety of places and cultures with different values. And so Paul finds himself at odds here, we believe, with some Corinthian women who had took Paul's words of men and women are all equal, and they found freedom in Christ, and then he was not so excited when they actually exercised that freedom. And then there was conflicts about the gifts that mattered more. Many of them, sometimes when I read Corinthians, I think of the modern-day Pentecostal church, where people speak in tongues, and there's great expressiveness. Sometimes fainting, you know, in some Pentecostal church you have people dressed, women dressed as nurses to help people overcome by the Spirit. And then I think, okay, so it's the gifts that were quieter, the preaching and the teaching and the administration that may not have received the same gifted appreciation and respect. Regardless of which gifts were and weren't, folks felt dismissed and disrespected. And so Paul's teaching here is to help the Corinthians get healthier. He talks about the Spirit being the source of unity, that we are all baptized, and he even brings in his phrase that we see in his letter to the Galatians, you know, whether you're men and women, slave or free, everybody participates. We come making the same promises and the same call. And so before God, there is equal standing among all believers. Then he takes that analogy. I won't go through all the pieces of it. I think it's pretty clear that every member is necessary. We need to appreciate the parts of the body that are presentable, and then the unpresentable we have to take care of. I love that. There's mutual dependence within the body of Christ. And his poignant mentioning that when one suffers, all suffer together, and when one rejoices, all rejoice together. Isn't that one of the big benefits of belonging to a community? That we know that we can celebrate and commiserate with each other. His list of the gifts, you may or may not, in verse 28, you may not directly feel akin to. I think some of those gifts are clearer than others, and others we may, and then I think, and the thing I don't like about that list, it's a little bit Animal Farm-ish. Okay, because he's just getting said all the gifts are good. And then he says, first of all apostles, second prophet, third teachers, then miracles. Does that sound like a priority list to you? Does that sound like he's ranking them? It does to me, I have to say. So even Paul could succumb to that. So he is going to, in his next chapter, which we will cover next week, direct the Corinthians to the way of faith, hope, and love, because that's going to bring them back to valuing one another more than their own knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, miracles, tongues. And so he's going to remind us that our appreciation and care for one another is more than the gifts they bring. It is because of the love that God gave us that we are then able to share with one another. He's not looking for the perfect, tidy, in lockstep community. He's looking for a loving community. As I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about, members in various churches that I have served over many years. And there's one member that I think was a remarkable member, and it has no correlation with how mighty the gifts he had. His name was Jimmy, and I met Jimmy when I served Christ Presbyterian Church in San Rafael, which was now 24 years ago, a long time ago. At the time, Jimmy was in his 40s, and I met he and his sister because their father had recently passed away. Jimmy was developmentally disabled, and he had been living with his father. His father never wanted him to go out and live independently. And so his sister came to live with him, and she was a nurse, and she thought Jimmy would certainly be able to live independently, and she wanted him to be able to survive. She was older than he, so she didn't know how long she had. So it was important to her that Jimmy be able to find his way on his own. And so she began the process and gathered the community resources so that, in fact, he began to live independently. They created a little apartment in the house that was just his. And it turned out that was a really important thing because she died a couple of years later. And so Jimmy was able to live on his own, and he was a very faithful member of the church. When I visited back at the church, I received a hearty greeting from him as one of the church family as he handed out bulletins and hymnals, and he sang in the choir very badly. But he was a volunteer as a helper. He was an artist. He took community art classes. He passed away during COVID, and a couple of church members remembered him this way. She said, "James was a gift to all of us. He was a beloved member of our church choir and in the band The Rippers at Marin Ventures Day Program. He was the unofficial mascot at Terralinda High School football games for years and the Orca swim coach helper. He delivered papers in Terralinda for about half his life and loved animals and people." And another wrote, "He was a good friend to everyone he met and was very caring and giving. He had a great smile, very faithful at church and a true artist at Marin Ventures. He was also a helping hand wherever he was. Yes, he loved animals too." Jimmy didn't have a gift of teaching or preaching or prophecy. He was not an administrator, nor did he have the gifts of tongue. Nevertheless, Jimmy was a helper and one of the best human beings I had the privilege to know. In God's eyes, the measure of one's life is not only about our accomplishments, but how we connect to the body of Christ and live into faith, hope, and love. Lou mentioned, I'm leaving you guys. I have two more sermons after this. And as I leave to retire, and you will be welcoming a new bridge pastor. And so things will change. The new pastor will do things differently. And so I want to encourage you to welcome that person to be a part of the body of Christ with you here at 180 Estadillo. You have the opportunity to give the new pastor the gift of encouragement. And in doing so, you will now have the opportunity to learn from a pastor who has different skills and strengths than I do. And I encourage you, take advantage of that opportunity. And my invitation for us as the body of Christ is this: let go of judgment, competition, and expectation, and instead hone the gift of being curious. This is a call just for you to be who you are, and that it allows you to let other people be who they are in the moment. To be and never compare yourself to anyone else but yourself. This is a reality that we all need to practice. Me too. And it's a lifelong journey to be a part of the body of Christ. So friends, as we gather and as we are the body of Christ, let us live into that in the fullest way we can possibly do. Amen. So friends, I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing together, We Gather Together, number 559.
You may be seated. Giving of tithes and offerings should be a genuine response to what we have received from God in order to show our gratitude for God's abundant love, to respect his character to the world, and to invest in God's kingdom. When we give, we inspire others to do the same. And as our generosity multiplies, there will be an overflow of goodness and blessing. So as the ushers come forward to collect the morning offering, let us give with open hearts, knowing that we are making a difference in the world that God has entrusted to us. Thank you. hearts are full of gratitude. We thank you that you are the source of all blessings. May these gifts extend the work of your kingdom in our church, our community, and throughout the world which you have lovingly created. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated.
As we come to God in prayer, just a note that our flowers today were given in memory of Leah Susie Culver. We had her memorial service here yesterday, and Randy wanted to leave the flowers for us today, so we're thankful for that. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude and reverence for your creation. As we contemplate the truth of Corinthians, we seek to understand the depth of meaning embedded in these words and how they apply to our lives today. We recognize you've designed the church as a beautiful body, with each member serving a vital role. So help us to see and honor the diversity among us as a tapestry woven with your love and purpose. We ask that you open our eyes to appreciate those who are different from us, recognizing that each person, their unique gifts and talents, contributes to the fullness of your body. Break down the barriers of pride, prejudice, and misunderstanding that often lead to division among us. Just as each part of our physical body has its own function, so do we, as members of the body, possess distinct roles that are essential for the health and mission of the church. Holy One, we pray for unity among believers. In a world that often fosters division and conflict, let your church stand as a hope, sign of hope and harmony. Help us to remember that we are all part of the same body, united in faith and purpose under your will. Teach us to love one another deeply as you have loved us, and let our actions reflect the unity of the body as we serve each other with humility and grace, acknowledging that our different gifts are meant to complement rather than compete with one another. May we be inspired to come together in service, understanding that when one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And when one is honored, we all rejoice together. Instill in us a spirit of cooperation and mutual respect, so that we may grow together in faith and strength, bringing glory to your name. Jesus, you are the head of the body, and so we ask that you cultivate in us a desire to seek your will above our own, to draw upon your strength as we fulfill our individual and collective callings. Remind us that our significance lies not in the recognition we seek from the world, but in the faithful and diligent execution of our duties to one another and to the mission you have entrusted to us. Let us foster an environment of acceptance and love, where every member feels valued regardless of their background or circumstances. Inspire us, Lord, to reach out to our brothers and sisters with generosity and compassion, providing encouragement and support as they navigate their own journeys of faith. Help us to remain vigilant in our efforts to promote the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. May our church be a place where love abounds and where the beauty of diversity is celebrated as part of your perfect design. And so we ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who reigns as head of the church forever and ever. And let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So friends, I invite you to now stand as you are able for our closing hymn number 343, called As Partners in Christ's Service. So friends, go. Go with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the way, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth, and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.